my friend says caffeine's a drug. I said, oh, tell your friend, fuck you.
I don't want to be your buddy, Rick. Just want a little breakfast.
And welcome to Breakfast Punks, a podcast about weird shit and DIY punk from Hastings. I'm Siobhan.
And I'm Dave, and this is episode 60, in which we're going to be providing you with a recording of a live podcast that we did at Manchester Punk Festival.
A couple of days ago,
which is why we probably sound a little tired.
We are a little tired, a little hoarse. That does mean that this episode is a slightly different format to usual.
It's going to be a weird episode. We put so much planning into the live episode that we didn't have time to do the news, so there will be no news.
No.
As you will soon hear, the planning was for naught.
We will cross that bridge later. But yeah, so this episode is slightly shorter, which maybe is to some people's benefit because usually it's about 2.5 hours long. This one's going to be considerably shorter.
Oh, it's been much shorter than that recently, Siobhan. I've been editing it down.
We've gotten more concise.
They're mostly under 2 hours now.
Oh, we've come a long way.
And most of that's music.
Exactly.
I mean, we play 4 songs, most of which are about a minute.
So yeah, that's
most
very
of
true.
It's that.
So yeah, so slightly different format, but we will start with a song. All the bands that we're playing today played MPF this year, and this band is called Distrel, and the song is called Rust. They're from Finland, and I think they were meant to play last year, but COVID or planes or all the various disasters of last year stopped them from getting here. But they made it this year. I think they had a good set. And this is from their last album called Strike. So this is Distrel with Rust.
We'll be right back.
So as we conceded earlier, there will be no news.
No news.
There has been no news.
Well, there's been some news, but not a huge amount. My Norfolk news was going to be about how there was a poo on a bus stop that's been there for five days or weeks, can't remember, but it's made the news and everyone's upset about this poo.
Well, you could have pulled that out of your hat anyway.
Well, I might save it. That was a foreplanning for next time, but Norfolk hasn't been that exciting, and all of our news
has been...
The
world hasn't been that exciting.
No.
Well, actually, it might have been. I haven't taken any interest in the world
whatsoever. Well,
the
sun's been out. That's been sunny.
It has been sunny.
That's about as much news as I
Lovely weather at Manchester Punk Festival. Well, for the small amount of time that we were there.
Oh, yeah, for the 2 days or day and a half we were in Manchester. It was bloody gorgeous, and I understand it was like that all weekend.
Good.
So that is very lovely.
We are recording this whilst it's still the weekend. In fact, Manchester Punk Festival is still going on whilst
we're
recording
this. Well, there
we go.
I think the headliners are on right now for the Sunday.
We had to come back because of various things, work, but mostly the cat.
Mostly the elderly cat that we feared was dead.
Yeah, we've been talking about the cat regularly on these episodes, so we might as well talk about the cat again.
Yeah, let's bring her up.
She made some very unusual noises when we came home.
Screams of enjoyment and happiness.
I think she was overexcited to see us,
oh,
but also probably telling us off like an old lady should.
And it just came out in a...
It was very unusual. Yeah. I've never heard her make such noises.
I think she was excited and old, and that just comes out like that.
Maybe. Yeah, she's always had a very nice voice, very high-pitched, and now it's getting a bit gravelly.
I think that's what old cats do. They get more vocal, and it gets a bit hard to hear.
Sort of sounds a little bit like Rob Flynn.
Oh, she's just as handsome as
like
well.
An extremely high-pitched Rob Flynn. Is there a singer who is a high-pitched Rob Flynn? I mean, no.
Is it maybe that strange Judas one Priest? From Ipswich who made a film from Cradle of Filth?
Little Daniel Filth.
Little Daniel Filth.
Oh.
He's got a high
Father.
Pitch.
That Daniel Filth. God, I tell you what, you'll have to go back in the annals of Breakfast Punks to know what that was all about.
The annals? What does that mean? I've never even heard
like
that
old episodes.
Oh, learning words.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a high-pitched Rob Flynn,
I'm
potentially.
Sorry, Father.
Father. Yeah, that was a good film. I mean, it wasn't. You don't need to.
Oh, we still own it, Siobhan. I've tried to give it to the charity shop on a number of occasions.
Well, they won't take it.
No, you won't let me give it away. You keep saying, oh, we might want to watch that again.
Oh, I take it back. You can definitely take that to the charity shop. That is done.
Anyway, Manchester Punk Festival, lovely weather.
Lovely weather and a lovely day. I mean, we only managed to take the one day. We watched Friday and it was bloody good.
It was.
A lovely time. We had a little dance to the bell tones.
We did.
We had a lovely dance to Four Foot Fingers.
I thought Four Foot Fingers were a ska punk band.
Oh, because
I've no idea. They're just a name to me.
Yeah, and they're of that era of terrible ska punk bands that it turns out we really like.
Yeah, so I was looking forward to that.
To a skank.
I think I'd got mixed up with someone else, to be honest. I pictured something entirely differently.
Were you expecting Uncle Brian?
Horns, probably. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think
or Shooting Goon.
Shooting Goon. He was hopeful, but Four Fingers were all right. Brought me back to last time I went to see them was 20 years ago.
They were rather good, actually.
I thought they were pretty
good. They sort of look like uncles.
They probably all are uncles.
Oh, they definitely all are.
I mean, they definitely are.
But I mean, we all probably look like uncles. We're all uncles. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a lovely review. Full review.
One of them looked a bit like Siobhan's stepdad.
Oh, but they were lovely. I did love it quite a bit.
And Off With Their Heads were good. I don't know, by then I was too drunk.
Yeah, I think it all kind of went downhill on the drunk phase, and by then it was time for bed sort of thing. But it was a lovely day. We saw some nice bands.
It was. We started the day by doing a live podcast at the Sandbar, as previously announced.
Yes.
And I think we, just for it to make sense to the listener, because we didn't really have much choice but to acknowledge the fact, I don't think, I haven't actually listened to it back yet.
Oh, are we just going to put it on and never listen to it? I kind of feel that way.
Well, I'll have to listen to it because I'll have to do some editing, I imagine. But we were on after the Horn and Hoof podcast. Yeah. I think we referenced that.
And that went extraordinarily
that
well.
Went
very
extremely
busy.
Extremely well.
A good way to get people there is to invite a lot of people to be on it.
Yeah.
Very clever. And it was very good, well attended otherwise.
It was wonderful.
It was very good. It was chaos. It was a very, way more successful chaos than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It was very good.
But then everybody left.
Yeah.
And so so ironically, we the subject that we were going to talk about, that I don't know how much we really did end up talking about, to be honest, was embarrassment.
Yes.
And The idea was that, and I'm sure we'll say this in the recording, but the idea was that we were going to talk about all the bands that we genuinely love, but which are genuinely embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. Don't love in an ironic, or go, oh, you know, I like this band, but it's just being ironic. This was like genuine adoration for some pretty embarrassing things. We're going to exercise ourselves with them.
Yeah, and ironically, it was one of the most embarrassing experiences of my life.
Yeah.
because we had to sort of talk into microphones to two friends who had to leave halfway through.
Yes, they were staying out of politeness. And they had to leave when the rest of my band turned up and stared at us until they left. So that was a bit shit. Scott turned up, who may be the only person listening to this right now.
Yeah.
So thank you, Scott, for also turning up and being a witness to it. And to the sound man, who for some reason stayed.
he's quite enjoyed himself, I think.
Yeah, he had a nice time. He joined in.
Yeah, he was having his cup of tea, chuckling along.
He did. He joined in. He gave some guilty pleasures over. That was good of him.
But, you know, we're not bitter.
No.
I mean, we're really not bitter. The reality is that I think we just want to acknowledge it for a few reasons, but because one of the reasons is because I think not being successful is an important thing to acknowledge sometimes.
Yeah.
And just to own up to the fact that sometimes things that you do, for whatever reason, and I don't think it was... it had nothing to do with anything, really. It had to do with the fact that there was another band on and doing a podcast at a punk festival isn't ideal.
No.
You know, or not that it's not ideal, but, you know, it's not a draw.
No.
Also, we're not a draw, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't expect, you know, that none of this is kind of bitterness.
I think
we just need to acknowledge
reasons.
It so that it makes sense.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's important to accept
a failure
when you fail, just say, I failed.
Look at this. We didn't even get the chance to be shit. Because, like, it's not as if the thing was bad. It's that people didn't want the thing in the first place.
It's not about that. Because the thing is, like, MPF is great. Amazing thing. And they put this podcast stage on. It's an amazing thing. And we did it last year and it was great.
Yeah, it was.
And people came and it was fine. And I'm sure that the rest of the podcasts were all probably very successful.
Yeah,
and
I've heard good things about some.
And I do think it's really important that what they do is that obviously most of it's music.
Yeah.
But they also do loads of other shit. There's comedy, there's poetry, there's all these things.
And they should maintain that variety
always.
Oh
my God, yes.
It's a good thing that there's so many. And I think you mentioned it to me in like prior to us doing it. It's good that they do so much because also it gets a lot more people in the door to be there at the festival, to have a nice time, to be, you know, with friends and stuff. It's a good thing. It's
but
a
it
celebration
also shows
of
off, it shows
so
off.
Much variety within the punk community that
exactly.
isn't just music.
Yeah. And I think that's more important because I think that, you know, I know this firsthand as well. Poetry isn't terribly popular.
No.
It may come as a surprise to you.
Shocking.
But, you know, I mean, most people don't even fucking read. So they're not going to be interested in poetry.
Let alone listen to someone else read their hard-earned work.
but the fact of the matter is that it is a valid artistic expression.
Yeah.
And some people are very good at it. Even if you're not interested in it or someone's not interested in it, it's not to say that it's not good. So it all has a place in our scene, which should be full of richness and should be full of loads of other things that aren't just
variety.
People shouting at you with a guitar so that you can drunkenly do a human pyramid or a karate kick.
Exactly. We don't all have to do that same thing over and over. And also, I mean, when we first started doing this podcast, we did it because we wanted to do it and not because, you know, if people listened, it was a bonus. And it's a bit, you know, it's a shame that when it's live, it's very in your face that no one's listening. But, you know.
Well, in a lot of ways, Siobhan, I would say it might be a metaphor for the entire experience of humanity in the year 2023.
Is anyone listening? If they're,
I mean,
not
we're used to
it.
Sitting in our living room and talking to each other without anybody else here apart from our cat.
Yeah.
But you do that sort of assuming that
someone's
listening at the other end.
Yeah.
And I feel a little bit like that's the same as a Facebook wall, isn't it? We live in a world where I think we all continuously think we're being watched by everybody we know.
Yeah, and you act as if you're being watched as opposed to acting your true self.
Oh, you've got to, your true self, Siobhan, that's true, isn't it?
No, it's something like that, though. I know what I mean.
But I do think it genuinely affects all of our behaviours, and it affects so many, it affects everything about the world, I think.
Mm.
I'm reading a book about this at the moment, so I should be careful that this doesn't just become a rant. But actually, we're not. No one really gives a fuck.
No, as was obvious.
So I think in a lot of ways, having that experience is quite a useful one.
It's a humbling reminder of how to, remember where you are in the world and
But you, of course, went from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs, because Comeback Clip basically must have played the best gig you've ever played by.
Yeah, it was
amount,
a weird. It was
about
a weird.
An hour later, so you had a.
Yeah,
maybe that's why I sound sad.
No, I know, and I do feel a little bit like I don't want to like downplay how much fun I then had.
No,
but also I don't want to like undermine your like experience and my experience of that day, because I do feel bad that, you know, you didn't get to have something that brought you out of it, apart from dancing to the bell tones.
Yeah, I had plenty. There was loads of stuff to bring me out of it. I mean, but watching you play was cool. That was fine.
I mean,
it wasn't like a sad day as a result, or it wasn't a miserable experience. But
yeah,
I'm just saying it's great.
It was great that you washed your
palate. It was almost immediately.
Yeah, it was strange, actually. I must say, like, it was a bit of a busy day. We were both on the Hello and Hoof for like 30 seconds or whatever, but you had to be there for that and also watching that. And then we were straight into our podcast, and then I think I had a 40-minute changeover before we then played what was the biggest gig we've done so far, and turned out good, so that was nice. But yeah, it was a crazy like 3 hours of adrenaline. And then it was like, whew, at the end, like, bloody hell. I had a good burger, a good sit down, a bloody lovely day.
What's that place that does the food? I always forget
Tea
their
Time
name.
Collective.
See, they make a very good burger and a lovely brownie with a Cadbury's cream egg in it.
Well, it wasn't a Cadbury's cream egg, it was a vegan cream egg.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even their forte. Like, the baking is their stuff. They don't do the savoury food as a regular thing anymore. So it was bloody good. Bloody loved it. What a good day. So, apart from when we didn't have anyone to come watch this podcast.
But I hope that everybody enjoyed MPF a great deal. I'm sure it's a success as ever. It's an amazing thing that exists in this community of ours.
It's crazy,
it really is
incredible.
Good. The amount of work that goes into it must be absolutely insane.
Yeah, when I see all of the... I appreciate they put quite a lot of content on Instagram and Facebook on the days leading up, and I appreciate that's not really being behind the scenes, but just the grandness of... I mean, they laid out all of the, like, posters and runners and backdrops that they had printed, and it kind of shows you the grandness of how much it's taken over, like how many venues were involved, how much advertising, and how much... just stuff they had to organise just to even...
hard work.
Get stuff through the door.
Yeah.
And the little attention to details. The programmes are really pretty. The fact, like, even like, it sounds really pathetic, but even the freaking band beer tokens and food tokens are really like pristine.
Yeah.
Just everything is so like well thought out and on it. And the whole thing usually runs extraordinarily well. I don't hear of any bad stuff, so.
Our cat is literally pissing on our carpet.
Sorry, I just said.
I don't know if you can hear a little tinkle, but that is the sound of piss on carpet.
He's peeing straight onto the fucking floor.
What a day we're having.
This is so good. Oh, good. I can literally see her standing on her litter tray, bum in the air, like a water fountain, spraying her piss onto the floor.
So this has been a fabulous podcast.
Yeah,
sorry. We're now going to play you.
Oh, she's standing in it. Awesome.
We're now going to play you the live recording from Manchester Punk Festival, in which hopefully we talk very clearly and with great joy about how embarrassed we are about all the things that we like.
Yeah, and there's a couple of people in the audience. I don't know what they're going to come out sounding like, but thank you to Maddie already for your cackle that I'm sure we'll hear. And thank you to anyone else you hear, which you can only
Mark Tanner
or Scott.
<It's all> Scott.
But, you know, they were there, and thank you for putting up with us whilst we just went ahead. We were like, you know what, it's no different from recording in our lounge, turns out. So we're just going to get on it.
So here it is.
Yeah. Welcome to Breakfast Park Podcast. I'm Siobhan from Hastings.
I'm also Dave from Hastings.
And we're doing it live at MPF this year to, I'm not going to lie, two people.
For the listener at home, a little tip. If you want a successful live podcast experience, invite enough people to fill the room to be on the podcast.
Two or three tips.
Like the fucking Horn and Hoof.
Yeah, three tips. Invite everyone you were planning on speaking to.
Have friends.
Don't go on after Hello and Hoof. And don't go on at the same time as Bruise Control, turns out.
So,
but do have two lovely friends called Maddie and Mark who are sat
here. Hi guys, yay!
He's talking to us really awkwardly while we speak into microphones to each other.
This is very similar to what we do at home.
And you two are just our cats.
Yeah, at least this is literally just going to be the podcast that we normally do at home.
Yeah.
And our friends, just two friends are here, that's fine.
That's absolutely
fine. Some
people
are walking in and they're confused, and that's fine.
Yeah, please yeah. Hi, guys.
This
is Podcast-O-Rama.
No one likes podcasts when Bruce Patrol are on. We're going to just crack on and talk about what we were going to talk about. We are a little bit out of the sorts. Did you sleep?
No.
I mean, Maddie knows why we didn't sleep. You know why we didn't sleep.
A moon prick is getting blown up.
No.
Someone got blown off.
No. We're not sleeping for different
reasons. For the listeners at home, a porno was made in the hotel room.
Doesn't do it anywhere near enough justice. We had to leave after work. We got to our hotel in Manchester at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And it was like being sectioned. The entire experience was... you had to have ID at the door. There was bouncers. It was a Britannia hotel, right?
Which is like
it's extremely grand. It's like really beautiful place.
Well, I picked it because it's an old 70s style like hotel that's like really dilapidated and doesn't get done up. And I thought that's really our style. But yeah, we got there. You get turned away if you don't have ID. You do feel like you're being like ferried around, like you've just been sectioned and dragged off the streets.
You were looked at like a... I mean,
and they don't explain to you what they're doing, so it really did feel like being out of control and being sectioned, so that was fun. And then when we got to our room was lovely.
Yeah, it was
lovely. We were like so ready to sleep without a cat hitting us in the head all night, like she likes to at the minute. And then lo and behold, the over-enthusiastic, pleasurable screams from upstairs, which peek behind the curtain with porn, didn't realise that it's like 2 minutes of action and then about a half hour break.
And I don't know, what did you think? How did you think pornography was made?
I don't know,
did
I just thought it was a lot more seamless. I thought it was a love making session. It was enthusiastic and then they filmed it and then that's that. But yeah, I didn't realise how much of a break they had. Two minutes of I don't know what.
I didn't realise that mid orgasm usually porn stars just suddenly let out a massive laugh because something has happened, because that's what I could just hear this woman going, oh. It was very weird.
And the whole time I was like, is this a porn that's happening? And then I overheard her say, should we do the cum shot now? And I was like, wow, it is legit just a porn being made in the room above. Till 6 this morning, so I'm very tired.
And
so
she was paid for 1.5 hours
work.
And she was definitely going, for longer than 1.5 hours.
No, not that long.
But do you think in porn...
Is it by the minute?
Do you think that they literally, once they start fucking, they start a stopwatch? And then when they stop fucking, they stop
paid.
And you're like, right, you're getting 15
you
minutes.
You don't get paid for your breaks.
No warm up.
In fairness, I don't think they did get warmed up. It was straight to enthusiasm. I was like, there's been no foreplay.
Do you think if you have to get fluffed, then it's like half rate?
That's on your time.
Fluff.
Do you have to bring your own friend?
You have to pay them if you're fluffing.
Get fluffed on your time. I like that. Should we move on to what we were planning on talking about before a porn was made about our?
Yes, so the last couple of, I don't know if you two in the audience have listened to this. Three, sorry, Mr. Salma, sorry.
No,
very
sorry.
Okay. There is three people.
Just chin wagon.
The last two episodes of our podcast have been about ska punk.
But mainly because it was seen as something dirty and horrible and that you've proclaimed to never like.
Yeah, and then we grew to love scar, but we talked an awful lot about the embarrassment which is involved in
liking
scar. Liking scar punk. Also, James Domestic told me off over Facebook.
He sent us such a long essay
because
we have to say scar punk and not scar.
No, well, he had a point in fairness, but
it
was just laziness on our part.
We were
saying scar because we couldn't be bothered to say two words.
And
we
made
that
point in the first episode quite clearly. And in the second episode, we just lost it.
I don't remember the first episode.
Yeah, it was ages ago now, wasn't it? But yeah, sorry, James Domestic. He really did send us an essay of anger. And then apologised, but yeah.
But as a part of that story, we did have a conversation about what is embarrassing music?
I know the answer to this one.
But what is actually embarrassing music? Because what we all do, we often say, like, oh, you know, I don't know, I like I like Britney Spears. And people sort of go, all right, well, it's about, just let me use it as an example, 50% of the audience.
But I think Maddie's edging towards the point. We say it's embarrassing, but it's
but we're not really embarrassed.
It's like a bit ironic and actually is really good. And it's like this, I don't know, it's kind of almost like, not cool, but like...
No, it is cool.
It's ironic and cool to be like, oh yeah, I'm so embarrassed about listening to Britney Spears. But actually, those people do, and it's not a bad thing.
And I think
whereas there are some truly... Well, we need to think about what embarrassing truly means.
Yeah, because I think also there's loads of stuff that, depending on what age you are, is either embarrassing or not. So for 50% of the room, saying I like Blink 182 is probably the most embarrassing thing you could possibly say.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not aiming this at you two. I'm not saying you like Blink 182. I'm just saying for the other 50% of the room, if you said, oh, I got into punk through Blink 182 and then I sort of went on a journey and I found, that would be fine in a way.
Yeah.
But if me and Mark Tanner, two men in our 40s, said, I fucking love that that one that they do about how gay people are funny, or whatever, that would not be alright, would it?
No, it would be alright.
So embarrassment is this obscure concept. So what we wanted to do was we wanted to try and pick things which were genuinely embarrassing, but most importantly, that we also genuinely love without any irony or sarcasm or anything.
Yeah, we're not trying to be, well, I'm saying we're not trying to be cool. I think we're going to get cancelled. But again, by two people in the room who already...
I don't think we need it.
I think we'll be all right.
I think this audience will be fine.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine. But yeah, so genuine things we actually like that probably are quite embarrassing. And with a view to, I don't know, in a magical way, exercise ourselves of them. And, well, actually, we don't need exercise.
Well, we had an idea that this might have been sort of like a revelation where we could get the audience involved. But unfortunately, the corner of the room over there is not going to give us any feedback.
Maybe we can find out what... Oh, I feel like I know what Maddie likes already. I like literally your entire playlist.
Sorry, guys. You came here as an audience. It's now an interview.
Yeah, it will be an interview. But don't worry, we'll embarrass ourselves first to be truly...
Add it to my list of interviews today.
Yeah, I know. Oh, some people are getting so many interviews.
Madeline, 50% of the audience, is getting interviewed today about love.
Punk love. Punk's in love.
That's lovely.
And that Dan's not going to say a single word. Yeah,
Dan Flanagan's
going to say so. I hope you've got a lot of love.
He got really warmed up in that whole interview. He's going to be prepped.
Embarrassment. We're not there. Love is not embarrassing. Love is fantastic.
But we're going to whiz through some embarrassments, aren't
we? Probably quite quickly, because again, the corner of the room isn't.
Let's get this done. Where should we start? What
with
should
you?
With the
I
bads?
Think.
Should we start with the bads?
No, we start with something which.
Okay.
You find very embarrassing. Okay. Is very embarrassing, but that you genuinely love. Siobhan Slattery, what is number one?
So we have deliberately picked the worst ones first.
Don't ruin the process just because there's no one here.
So, when I grew up, should I just say who it is to start with?
That was the idea.
I just feel like it's this one is a difficult one because it's like embarrassing, but it's also, I'm going to get cancelled for saying it. So I'm going to have to really quickly...
I think I might get cancelled, actually.
Why? You think you know what this is? Whisper it at me. The audience is correct.
For the listener at home.
Yeah. So I was brought up in a household that... Oh, I should say who it is. It's Gary Glitter. I'm just saying it out loud. I was brought up pre him being a paedophile. I'm not justifying
he
it.
He was a paedophile.
Yeah, he was. Pre he was a paedophile.
Yeah.
And my house, glam rock was the thing. Like, we listened to glam rock all the time. We sang karaoke at home all the time in karaoke VHSs that were specifically glam rock. And we even had two that were specifically Gary Glitter. And so that's all we sang at home. And I did not know any different.
No one knew that.
Not that, again, not really trying to justify
I think some people knew
but,
that.
No one cares about
that.
Yeah, no one cares. That's
but the problem is, the problem is, like, even that, I know people get cancelled and people are you're not meant to listen to anymore. And I don't actively sit there and listen to it nor buy any music. But.
Christmas would suggest differently, Siobhan. At Christmas time, your entire playlist is the Gary Glitter Christmas song, Santa is a Fat Bitch by Insane Clown Posse. That's it. And
that
it's
is
just
it,
those
actually.
Going
and
around.
Oh, and the Vandals every now and then.
Oh, yeah. But, all of which could definitely get you cancelled.
Yeah, true. But the problem is, I just. Like,
I don't think my first Christmas as a woman has aged very well.
It has not. But I think I just can't help but adore that bit of music in my life. And I think this came up when, what was it, that Joker film that happened. And I remember sitting in the cinema, and when that came on, I was like, Jesus Christ, they are just straight up playing a Gary Glitter song. How has this happened? And I looked into it, and it turns out he hasn't taken royalties from music since like 92 or something. He sold all his rights to his music. So therefore, if we're feeling in between on whether we should or shouldn't listen to it, he's not getting any money.
So it's fine.
Do you think money is the important aspect?
Well, I don't know how to deal with this.
Because I can't
really
work out any. I don't really care about money or think that that's particularly important. But
I guess
is there any other way of rewarding a pedo other than with money?
Well,
so
there's probably.
Is
I think
it
there's,
just,
there's plenty of
well, you can reward them.
To reward a pedo. No,
you'll definitely get cancelled if you reward a pedo with what you want.
But, well, I don't know. I think that's the argument that could be made, isn't it? It's to not financially support them in any way.
But don't you think that the only, if you're not... If,
but they've already creatively put an output into the world that, I don't know.
And if you own it already, then are you really supporting anything? Hey!
We have a third person!
The audience has just half again.
I have bag issues, I'm sorry.
We have bruise control issues because they're playing and no one's here.
We have incredibly uncomfortable podcasting to our friends issues.
Yeah, we're just talking directly to our friends and when they leave it's over.
And by the way, what you've missed is we're talking to them about Gary Glitter.
So in loose terms, embarrassing music that's genuinely embarrassing. Like, music that we love, that's genuinely embarrassing, that we like in the non-ironic way.
Yeah,
we're trying to go into why we like those things, what makes it embarrassing, and maybe redeeming ourselves slightly. And I've started with Gary Glitter, because...
at least you didn't start with the Lost Prophets.
Well, that's where I was going with this.
Well,
so
let's move on from here.
I was hoping that there was people in the room because I was going to ask a question, which is a genuine question. How many people do you think at Manchester Punk Festival have in some financial way rewarded Ian Watkins and provided him with the money to buy a baby? That's more than half of them.
So, do you know what? I mean, ladies in the room,
ladies in the room. Ladies in the room. Did you like Ian Watkins? Ladies in the room.
Yes, I really adored Ian Watkins at the time.
And
this
my
is
best
a problem,
friend
isn't
was
it?
Madly in love with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I thought he was brilliant. I thought he was brilliant.
How old was your best friend at the time?
Old.
I thought you'd say two.
Just old enough. No, I was like, what, 13, 14?
Yeah, we would have been.
Yeah.
That's well up his street.
Way too old.
Way too old.
We didn't stand a chance.
Way too old. What was his password to his computer? Something like, I have sex with babies. It wasn't that, but it's something like that. No, really horrendous, I swear. Terrible times.
This podcast is turning into a chat. So let's move on.
It's usually girls.
We are not being professional. So my first one is new, specifically new Kids on the Block. New Kids on the Block have come back, right?
They really have.
Not only are they handsome now,
yeah,
they also have good songs.
They do, but this is hard to do without playing.
I'm not fucking kidding. Well, so, yeah.
Are you going
to
sing it?
Well, if there was people here, I was planning on singing all of these, to be honest.
I had
a Shed 7 song up my sleeve that I know all the lyrics to.
You can still do it, you're giving it
I can sing a Blind Melon album from the first word to the last word, the whole 46 minutes, if you want.
That's not what we want. But sorry, I do a little bit.
I've ruined the podcast.
I do a little bit want you to sing Marky Wahlberg's...
Hey, let me catch my breath.
Yeah. Well, that's ruined it. No. New Kids on the Block, why?
Because they're handsome. And because they've released two songs which are genuinely fucking amazing.
One of them are definitely
one of them is called Bring Back the Time. It's all about how we're just the same kids that we were in 89.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure we can all...
I was born. Awkward.
We all know what it feels like. Mark Tanner, you remember what it was like to be in 89?
I was fucking 10.
It was good, wasn't it?
Fucking
I bet you had Bermuda shorts. I bet you had a t-shirt that had a skeleton on a skateboard.
The high-tech high-top.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have a New Kids on the Block album?
No.
Well...
What?!
That's you!
No, I didn't.
But this new...
I had a Colour Me Bad cassette.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God, your love for Colour Me Bad. Is that on your list?
It's far down. We're not going to get to that.
But New Kids on the Block song is absolutely
bring amazing. Back the time. Still bring back the time. It's amazing. It's not just New Kids on the Block. Yeah, it's also Rick Astley.
Oh,
it's, hey, we doubled the crowd. Hey!
Some other people didn't go watch Bruise Control.
You missed the Gary Glitter talk.
You missed the Gary Glitter talk.
You missed the best bit. We're talking about New Kids on the Block now.
Have you come to remove people?
I'm coming to load you in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to
go
load in.
I was still alive until quarter two.
I think we're losing our audience.
I don't think we can continue this with one person.
Stop to stop. No pressure.
I'll sit and watch. Right. Well, only to make it awkward.
Yeah, that's fine. We're starting till we finish.
Well.
Or will we?
I wanted to talk about the young one in New Kids on the Block quickly. Because I don't know if you remember New Kids on the Block, there was an old one. And there was a really little boy. And then, so 30 years later or 40 years later or whatever is, they've come back. They've all aged rather well. They're all handsome men. Apart from the little boy, who just looks like someone's fucking dad in the back, with terrible jeans. Sloppy, sloppy too. And
he's very sloppy.
He's really sloppy.
He's really sloppy.
And he doesn't do anything, so they're all having fun. New Kids on the Block in 2023.
Who else is in this song?
On Vogue.
On Vogue.
On Vogue have aged very gracefully. And Salt and Pepper have not aged very gracefully. They look like everybody's gosh. Aunt.
I don't think...
There you go, I'm not out on that.
Oh, not my aunt.
They don't look like your aunt.
Not my aunt. No.
Tut-tut.
Are we going to keep going?
Are we going to do this?
Yeah, fuck it. I'm going to talk about Pantera.
This is joyous. Why are you going to talk about Pantera?
I feel sorry for the dead ones.
Yes.
Right? If you were in a band that proper created a style of music that everyone copies now and does way worse than you, there is not a metal band that's come out since Pantera that's better than Pantera. No. You give me one. Yeah. There isn't one. And
thank God there's no audience here. You can
disagree
with
me. No, no.
I'm in agreement.
Yes, I feel free now. So
we're ignoring the word.
Unfortunately, Philip Anselmo's decided to harm Hitler when he gets drunk.
Yeah.
Right?
I thought it said harm.
He's not harming Hitler, he's hailing Hitler. And his fucking dead friends, who made all of that great music and the greatest riffs of all time, all of their music's been cancelled as a result of him. But here's my theory about Philip Anselmo.
Oh my God.
Well, if you were a proper Nazi,
oh God,
and you hailed Hitler at a gig, and someone said to you, why did you hail Hitler at a gig? You would say, because I believe in Nazism and here's all my thoughts. If you thought to yourself, I'm gonna like use my status to get this message across,
mm-hmm,
you would get the message across.
Mm-hmm.
But he's apologized every time. So I think Philip Anselmo just has an unfortunate tick, which when he gets drunk, when I drink Stella, try and piss in places that I shouldn't piss, mm-hmm, while I'm asleep. And I think Philip Anselmo might just have a similar thing where he can't help but hail Hitler. Our cat recently has started hailing Hitler, and it's not, we've not told her to do that.
No.
It's just a tick.
It's just a tick.
Phil Anselmo is a cunt. I'm only having fun. But I do feel sorry for Dimebag Darrell and his brother. The fat one. What's his fat brother called?
Drummer.
Dimebag and Drummer Darrell. Vinny Paul. He sounds like a darts player.
Vinny Paul does sound like a darts player.
And if you played darts, like, with quite an airy arm, you could accidentally hold it, wouldn't you? Siobhan, do you want to do any more?
You did nearly get another some guy walked member, in, but then you were talking about
Hardy. you missed the only part. I think part of this podcast was about doing this material at MPF. Just felt funny to me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Talking about paedophiles and racists at MPF just seemed like an amusing thing.
But you are just telling to your mates now.
No.
It's a bit weird.
Didn't quite work out, did it? What do you think about Shed 7, Jewel?
Do you know what?
I carry on for as long as I have to. Come back to my house. and I'll show you how to.
Just
get down on your knees. I'm begging, please, say that again. Shame on you. There's something in my head. And it's got it back to me.
I've just had an out-of-body experience, like looking at this room.
Like, well, they should have given us an audience. We would have taken it more seriously.
Oh my god. Was that your Les Fuck impression?
No, that was Shed 7 on the fucking money. I quite like Newfound Glory.
You're just exercising your thing.
Well, you're not fucking joining in, so someone's going. And I don't just like early Newfound Glory. Oh no, ladies and gentlemen, I like some of their later albums.
Isn't there a Sex Pest?
Yes, there's a Sex Pest in
there's
Newfound
a theme,
Glory.
Isn't there?
Yeah, right. But I think that they did lose their edge when they got rid of the Sex Pest. their music went downhill, so I assume he wrote some of it.
Which one was the Sexy Pest?
The little fat one on the rhythm guitar. I don't know his name, I don't know any of their names.
I don't know any of their names.
A bit like Newfound Glory. I quite like the starting line as well.
It's terrible, to be honest.
If you don't join in, I am just going
to... I didn't realise how long your list was. I am kind of willing for you to just...
Why didn't you just read the list then?
Mine was just going to be cock rock, but yours is like really bad.
To be fair, started so high.
Yeah, I started glitter.
Right.
Go down.
Big Fun.
I don't know Big Fun now.
They're three yoghurty looking men in pullovers. Singing, don't blame it on the moonlight, blame it on the movie.
I don't remember
in
that.
In the 80s.
No.
Massive. I've said Colour Me Bad. I was going to say Goldfinger, but we banned Scar. But it turns out that I didn't. When I re-listened to the Goldfinger album, I thought I liked it. It was fucking terrible. I had to turn it off after three songs. But secretly, I went back and listened to it again.
And then
there was this one song in it, and I was like, woohoo! Goldfinger is good. Cinderella and Wasp. Yeah. I really like one Toya album.
Toya's good. Oh, but Toya now dances around with the boobs out.
Yeah.
With that man playing guitar.
What,
on the YouTubes. Yeah.
I think that Pearl Jam are better than every single band that are playing at Manchester Punk Festival this weekend. And I've only got one more, and it's a bit obscure. It's this guy called Jeremy Ennick. He was in Sunday Day Real Estate, and I love one of his albums I love more than anything in the world, and it's all about Jesus.
Jesus music.
Go on, run through yours quick, and then you've got a load.
I only have a couple more. To be honest, I was going to go down the whole cop rock thing, and like, non-ironically, I just think some of those bands are the best bands in the world.
I like the fact that you like all cop rock bands.
Mm-hmm.
And you would like to have talked about them here at Manchester Punkfest 2 hours before you go and sing a bunch of songs which are completely anti every single
thing. It's a problematic world, but I don't know.
Blackie Lawless from Wasp described how he wrote the song Animal, I Fuck Like a Beast as, I was having sex with my girlfriend, I set up a video recorder, I filmed me having sex with my girlfriend. I mean, he didn't say it in this, he said it in a cooler accent like that. And then he said, I watched back the video of me fucking my girlfriend and I made it rhyme. And I think there's a comeback little song like that, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly the same. I'm actually going to write one based on that porn I heard last night. It's going to be great. Now for the cum shot. Time for the cum shot. No, terrible time.
We're paying you an hour and a half. You'll be happy for that.
I don't remember any of mine now. Oh, there's this one David Gray song I like, and that is actually embarrassing. It's the same one. I know people in the audience.
No, we've got an audience now. Look, they're waiting to leave.
Yeah. Our audience are literally at my band waiting for me to finish. but yeah, there's that one. I can't. It came on at Morrison's the other day, and I found myself like a little bit like.
That's how you know it's good. It's, I don't know.
My heart did a little flutter, and I just thought, shit, this is happening. I actually like this song.
Is it Babylon?
It is. Yeah. It is Babylon.
Babylon.
Yeah. You make it sound really bad. But no, when I listened to it at Morrison's, and I was just like wandering around, I was like, oh, I actually adore this song. I was in the frozen aisle looking at potato. Oh,
so David Gray looks like a potato.
He does, actually. Maybe that's why I like him quite a lot. I don't like him quite a lot, just like that one song.
Let me catch my breath.
No, No, Marky Wahlberg. I think the only other one was like, I have a thing for wussy power ballads. Like, really wussy power ballads.
Well, you were saying about Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Which is the Celine Dion?
It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
How's that go?
I'm not going
to
sing it.
It's all coming back to me now.
Is that right?
No.
It's not quite like that.
I'm guessing.
It has at least three key changes.
Oh, it's all
It keeps like it builds and it keeps and then it gets to the next one and then you're like heart breaks a bit more and oh, I don't know. I want to not like it, but again, if I hear it, it just makes my heart do something horrible.
But in talking about what is actually embarrassing and what is like ironically embarrassing, I think that you've hit a point there whereby David Gray is actually embarrassing. Celine Dion, in a lot of ways, I think you could argue it could be ironically embarrassing. Like, oh, I'm so mad I listened to Celine Dion. Whereas you can't be like, oh, I'm so mad I listened to Babylon by David Gray.
Fucking crazy.
No,
I don't know. I wouldn't openly talk about Celine Dion all that much, personally.
Well, you've no need to, but I'm just saying, if you did, you could be talking about it in an ironic way.
Could be. Could be.
I mean, we've literally no need to talk about any of this.
I was about to say, there's absolutely no need to talk about any of this. Does anyone else have any?
We wanted to do this, though. Our original idea of this was it will be like a revival. I'm like, we'll get it up here like a preacher. And we'll get everyone to do it. And then two people showed up.
You can still do it. Go be a preacher.
Hey, yeah. No, I'm not going to. Just shout them out. Anyone got any embarrassing things?
Go on. Maddie, you've got loads. Everything you listen to. Every single thing you listen to.
I refuse to be embarrassed.
Good.
That's where we were going to get to if we'd done this podcast properly.
It was going to be an
embarrassment is for losers.
But all we've done is embarrassed ourselves royally in front of some of our nearest and dearest.
We love you.
And, you know, it is what it is.
The only other one to Pantera is Guns N' Roses, because Axl Rose is an absolute cunt as well.
Yeah. They've got that's actually celebrating rape. Exactly. But people forget about that, you see, because Guns N' Roses come back, they play a stadium, everyone goes, oh, Guns N' Roses playing a stadium. But it's like, well, one of their songs is literally about, hey, rape!
Which song is that?
Get in the Ring is, but there's an earlier one, isn't there? It's from Appetite for Destruction. Yeah. I don't know. What's the fucking song called?
There's some questionable songs online.
I mean, they're all fucking bad.
But I don't think anyone would consider liking them embarrassing.
But they should. That's the point.
Twisty.
It goes both ways.
Do you know probably the most embarrassing thing is if anyone were to turn around, which would be impossible, and say, do you know, I really do like you too. That would be the. I think that's the pinnacle of like non-ironic. I am embarrassed. Oh, brilliant!
No, even I draw the line.
Yeah, there's one song that I like. Don't know why.
Which one?
Still haven't found one.
Still haven't found.
If I was going to listen to any of them.
Unfortunately, I do.
No, that one from Batman's quite good.
What one from Batman?
There's one from Batman.
That was Seal.
Have you heard that mashup between Seal and I made it up. It's a joke. It was a joke that was going nowhere.
Good.
Exactly where it belonged.
Well, I think we should probably wrap this up.
No, we got two more audience members now.
I'm not sure.
We've got to go, though.
This is about time for
you. We can at least just clap. Goodbye,
everybody. Thank you very much.
Remember, invite all of your friends to be on your podcast if you want anyone to turn up. Woo! Horn and Hoof Gravy.
Fuck you,
Bruce
Control. Fuck you.
So there it was.
Woo-hoo!
That was us live at Manchester Punk Festival 2 days ago, or like a week ago when you listen to this.
Whenever, if you listen to this.
Yeah,
is anyone listening?
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
So we're now going to play another
we're not
song.
Bitter, sorry. We are going to get over this. It's late on a Sunday. We're tired.
We're going to play a song by a band called Going Off, who also play Manchester Punk Festival. This is from their album, which is called What Makes You Tick. They are from Manchester, so they didn't have Father Come.
No.
And this song is called Self-Hatred.
Right, my right, 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 right,
Thanks for listening to this episode of Breakfast Punks, episode 60. Can you believe it? You can always message us on Instagram or email us.
We'll be bringing back the mailbag section next time.
Of course.
If anybody would like to email us or send us a message on the Instagram.
Of course. We're not reading out James Domestic's rant at us about ska punk and how
we might have to, because that might be the only mailbag.
That's true. That's true. Maybe we will. Thank you, James, for that. No, all with love. So, yeah, you can email
Everything he said was right.
Oh yeah, true. True. Fairness. He was so correct. All 1,000 words of it. But yeah, shamcityroasters@gmail.com if you want to email us, or you can Instagram message us or whatever they call that nowadays. Breakfast Punks Podcast on the Instagrams. We do have a Patreon if you'd like to sign up to that. That is great. We have an episode every month. We are extraordinarily late with this month. It's just been a busy month. We've been preparing, we've been busy, we've been working, but we will get there eventually, so apologies for that.
And I must say, Patreons, I think I'm right in saying this.
Oh, a big thank you.
I think a big thank you, because I think all of this fancy equipment that we bought about a year ago or whatever, I think I've just paid off the last credit card payment. I've still got to cover the interest, of course.
Oh, well, we can't hold that against anyone.
I'm only joking. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you tons. It means an awful lot that, excuse our bitterness for maybe that's come off on this episode. We do actually really appreciate those who listen, and super thanks to our Patreon listeners, because
I hope it hasn't
you,
come across as bitter.
I hope not, but I don't know.
It's a hard conversation to have, because again, I just want to like acknowledge
it's
it.
It's just acknowledging it,
but
isn't it?
But also, it's hard to talk about it without sounding a little bit like, but I'm not
and I don't think you sound like that at all. I hope our joyfulness doesn't sound like sarcastic bitterness.
No, not at all.
It isn't.
No one owes anybody anything.
True.
So it's not a moan that people didn't come.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just acknowledging
we're not
the fact that
we're not naive.
It didn't
to the
go
fact
right.
That, yeah.
We're wrong.
But it is what it is. We all have those times. You pick yourself back up. What did Chumbly Wumbly say?
You get thrown back down again.
I don't think that's what they said. They say you get thrown on the floor and stamped and stamped on.
Because of all the whiskey drinks.
Sometimes those lager drinks get you. That's what I would say. God, that was poor radio then. I'm so sorry.
Well, it was going somewhere, but you ruined it.
I know. I'm so Well, I think we should end here and play one last song from another band that played at Manchester Punk Festival. This is All Deep Ends. They're from Scotland. I've seen them quite a few times because they go around with the Sewer Cats quite a lot, and they're a very lovely bunch. This song is called...
You make it sound like they're a gang going around.
Going around.
Or like they're just some kids that hang around at the wreck in town.
Well, maybe
God,
they
you
are.
You know them Sewer Cats going around with All Deep Ends.
Oh, yeah. Well, they are. They were like little ragamuffins. Is that what you call them?
I don't know. I think they're all just grown-up human beings.
They are all grown-up human beings, as it happens. And they're all very lovely grown-up human beings. This song is called Time is a Flat Circle Pit. And it's from the album Throwing a Pit to Nothing, which is out now on Make That a Take Records. We will
leave
you with
that. Shout out to Make That a Take. They also put on a fucking killer festival
up
in Scotland every year that you should all go to.
We haven't been since it's moved to their new venue that they own.
Mm.
So maybe this year.
Book your Rain Fest, December.
Yeah, we should go. Should we go?
But we're not doing a podcast.
I don't think they'll want us to do a podcast. I don't think we'll be doing that. So, yeah, this is All Deep Ends with Time is a Flat Circle Pit. And we will see you later.
Bye.
Bye. Forever trapped.